On this week's show, we call three audibles this week. It's Andy and Steve with you. Nintendo has entered virtual reality. That's right. The Virtual Boy is back, baby. Not really. A pair of legendary games joins the NES Online lineup, and Turok, the dinosaur hunter himself, is coming to the Nintendo Switch. And finally, the Hype Zone takes us on an express elevator to hell. This is Nintendo Dual Screens, episode 89. Oh, hello there, everybody. Welcome to Nintendo Dual Screens. This is episode 89 for the week of March 11th, 2019. I am one of your hosts, Steven Fontana, and with me as always, and I could always depend on him, he never ghosts me, he never doesn't record with me after saying he will. He is my co-host, he is my partner in crime, he is my best friend, he is Andy Asimakis. How are you, Andy?
God, I'm so tired. This back and forth has drained me of all energy. And we're doing a show somehow. By some miracle, by the grace of the Lord himself, we're doing a show tonight for your listening pleasure. Hi, everyone.
Hi. This is a... So if you listen to the pre-show, you kind of know what's going on. But we have had three separate guests lined up for today at some point in our lives. And all of them either had something come up, decided not to respond, or completely misunderstood what we needed them to do. So it's going to be a duo today. It is going to be a dual screen duel today between Andy and I. It's a interesting, but I would say light news week, to say the least. But we're here and we're going to do the thing. And what is the thing we do? Okay, so you're new here. You clicked on a link. You're like, let me check out this show. Well, it's pretty simple. For those of you that are new here to Nintendo Dual Screens Podcast, this is a show where Andy and I, and sometimes a guest, go over the Nintendo news that you absolutely need to know about, and we have an open discussion about Nintendo's past, present, and future. Nintendo Dual Screens posts each and every Monday for your listening pleasure on your podcast service of choice, including iHeartRadio and Spotify. You can support us on Patreon by going to patreon.com/NDSpodcast, just like our Patreon producers, Alex Gonzalez and Gavin McCrinn. Gentlemen, cannot continue to grow without your support, so thank you so much. Remember, you could go to Patreon and you could support us for as little as $1, and as of right now, we have restructured our tiers, and $1, which used to only get you, it used to get you a invitation to our VIP Discord channel, but now you also get the monthly bonus episode, the NDS Bros Super Show. So you actually get a bonus episode every month just for supporting us at our lowest tier of $1. So go ahead, head over to patreon.com/NDS podcast and consider supporting us. It would mean the world. But there are other ways you could be a part of this show, this growing show here. You can email us. Email us your questions, your comments, your concerns, anything you want to talk about, anything you want to discuss to feedback@NDSpodcast.com. That's feedback@NDSpodcast.com. Ooh, Andy, before we get into the lead story, and before we get into the rest of the Nintendo News Report, what should we be playing, sir? Because, and you know what, I'll start us off because I'm gonna be completely honest with you folks. I have gotten really addicted to Apex Legends on my PS4, and my outside of playing Toe Jam and Earl on my Switch has kind of been sitting there just waiting patiently for the next thing that's going to tickle my fancy. But I do plan on diving into Starlink this week because I took out my R-Wing, which is here. Andy, if you want to look at it, it's right here. It's beautiful.
Oh, it's
but
so
also
adorable.
I went to Target and I didn't buy it this time, but I think I'm going to. They have the ships for $11 now. they're like on mega sale, and you could get the whole game with the starter kit for $20 at Target. So you could get the R-Wing and the game for $20 right now at Target. So I'm thinking of just buying some of those little pieces and experimenting with them and playing a little Starlink. But that's neither here nor there. Andy, what have you been playing? Anything fun?
So I think I'm going to take a page from your book, Stephen, and
okay.
not recommend a Switch game because, much like yourself, my Switch has been sort of just kind of charging in the dock for a while. I sure. picked it up for a few Smash rounds the other day. And, you know, the Switch, I feel it's been more of a research tool as of late, like getting a guest on the show. Here's their game. Play their game. Get them on the show. It's great for that,
right.
having that little device in my hands when I need it. But I don't turn to it as often as I'd like to. It is getting nicer outside, and I'm enjoying my commute without my Switch. So I've been playing, I got into Darksiders 3 recently.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, you know, that came out a while back, and the initial release was a little dodgy at best. It had some fundamental gameplay issues, like really, really small like hitbox for the character, and the platforming mechanics were a little bit off. But there were a few patches, and then they released a DLC not too long ago. So I got the whole thing all revamped and all patched up and ready to go. I played that for a bit. I'm loving it. I'm like 4 or 5 bosses deep. It's you fight, like, the main thing is fighting all the 7 deadly sins.
Right.
I just finished Lust, an amazing, amazing boss fight, and even more incredible cutscene. Like, I love it when games have really good, engaging cutscenes.
Right.
That make you sit there and, like, you're not bored while you're watching it. Like, you're not just waiting to play. Like, you're enjoying the actual narrative that's being presented to you. I was like, wow, it's really good. So, I've been playing that. And I made a vow to finish that before I dip my toe or drowned in the lake that is Devil May Cry 5. So that's
in the back burner. Yeah, I was going to ask you if you started that this weekend because I feel like that's something. Yeah.
It's like, it's right there. It's been purchased. I have a digital deluxe edition.
Woo.
That has the Mega Buster.
Yes, it does.
Which is the only reason why I got that version. But yeah, I mean, Darksiders is coming to the Switch in less than a month. The first game, so
yep.
So we
which
can,
I hear
we can,
is the best
we
one.
Can tie, yes, we can tie that into. This is giving one a run for its money. I'm
okay.
not gonna lie.
Okay.
Part two, I didn't care for its Diablo looting mechanics.
Mm.
This goes back to the core gameplay.
The Zelda gameplay.
Zelda/Metroidvania, right. Where you get an ability, you unlock other areas, you can go back and forth. And, you know, very specific weapons you get, 50,000 of the same one with a +1 or +5 attribute into some random stat.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm loving it a lot more than the first one.
So the reason why you and I probably haven't really been playing our Switch very much is this is kind of the down time for the Switch. I mean, there's some things that have come out in the past couple of weeks that have been for a larger Nintendo audience, but really not for us, not for you and I, our taste, as it were.
Right.
And this week really isn't much to write home about either, save for one game that really, really piques my interest. But let's go over what's coming out this week. So we got Bombfall coming out. We have Claybook, Little Shopping. Those are two different games. The Caligula Effect. Overdose, that's a $50 game. I don't know. I've heard of the game, but I don't know much about it.
It's supposed to be a horror game, I think.
Right.
Like a horror RPG.
Yeah. Baba Is You, I've heard of. I've heard of Baba Is You. I've heard good things about it. It's $15. Bad Dream Fever. Bonds of the Skies. Dusty Raging Fist. Now, wait a minute. Is this... I think I know about this one. Yes, yeah. This one's pretty cool. It's a 3-player beat 'em up, which is it's pretty cool. It's local, couch co-op 3-player side scrolling beat 'em up game. cool art style. So if you want a cool beat 'em up game, Raging Fist, Dusty Raging Fist, $9.99. Golf Peaks, that's a fun golf puzzle game. It's like a mini golf sort of. It's like a puzzle game. Johnny Turbo's Arcade, Joe and Mac Returns, Motorsport Manager. I don't know how you can manage a motorsport, but if you want to, it's there. And then the game that I'm kind of looking forward to, Rico. Have you seen the trailer for this?
Oh, I have seen this. Yes, I have.
This looks pretty cool. This is a co-op buddy cop movie shooter. That's essentially how they're marketing it. It looks, I mean, graphically wise, it, you know, it's somewhere in like PS3 territory, but that really doesn't matter. But it looks really fun, co-op shooting, just first person shooter, going in there ripping bad guys up, and it's only $20. Maybe that's something we should look into. Maybe stream together this weekend. That'd be cool.
Yeah, or not it sort weekend, of has that like cel shaded look of it.
Yeah,
a little bit like mm-hmm. 13. But I'm getting those, like off of the description, it reminds me of Narc from back in the day, that arcade, you know, 2D platforming shooter with the same, like, you know, busted drug lords.
Right.
Kind of a.
It reminds me of. Yeah, like it kind of looks a little bit like a more realistic, like a Borderlands kind of thing, the way the characters move around. I mean, it's got ragdoll physics. All right, so they're calling it the ultimate buddy cop shooter. Two cops, one case, and only 24 hours to take them down. Can you score a bust of a lifetime? Take the role of a loose cannon police detective and face off against criminal gangs in an exciting procedurally generated action movie first-person shooter.
Is this only on the Switch, or is it coming out for other platforms as well?
I think this was on Steam.
See, if we had influence, Steven, we could ask them to make a Turner and Hooch mod for this game. Or like a Beverly Hills Cop.
Let's see, Rico. I want to look it up.
It looks really good, though. I mean, you and I are overdue for a lot of face-to-face contact and Twitch things, and the list keeps growing.
Oh no, it's on everything. It's on PlayStation, right, Xbox One, Nintendo Switch, and Windows.
All right, because listen, between this game and the Hype Zone, which guys, we never mentioned it this early in the show, but whoo.
Oh boy,
this is going to be priority one for a Twitch stream.
The Hype Zone cometh, friends. Teddy the Wanderer Mountain Hike, the Red Strings Club, which kind of looks interesting too. That looks like, I don't know if that's a visual novel or whatever. Again, I wish we could dive into these games and tell you more about them. There's just too many games, and it's too much of a... We don't get a lot of codes. Like we do get some codes now and again to do previews and stuff like that, or reviews. But it's been a little dry lately on that. Plus, we've been really ramping up for... I think after PAX East, we're going to have a lot to tell you as far as games coming out, games we've played... we're going to build more relationships, so hopefully very soon we'll be able to tell you more about some games. Blood Waves and Dungeons and Aliens are round out the week of releases. So, seeing it's a slow news week, I figured it's a good day, good week to go over the releases. But now I want to get into the lead story, our topic of discussion, as it were, because I was right. And Nintendo is doing it. They're doing it. Nintendo Labo, the starter set, the new starter set 2.0. They are making a Labo VR headset. It's done. It's happened. We did it.
This is their Google Cardboard.
Yep.
That's what it essentially is.
Yeah, essentially.
I mean, kudos to you for making the prediction. But, you know, this is... It was there, ready for the taking. By Nintendo, because you could really see that they weren't going to go into it as deep as Sony or Vive or other companies,
right?
Or Oculus. This is their way to softly enter the VR market again after, you know, that thing that we called the Virtual Boy a million zillion years ago. See, this would have been the perfect episode to have Mario Clash on, but you know what they say, hindsight's 2020, Steven.
It is indeed.
But yeah, this is like, I think it's a great way for them to sort of kind of test that market for them. And it's aimed at kids. But let's go into the details here. So it's essentially, like you said, it's a brand new Labo kit, the VR kit, as it's called, the actual name of the thing. And it comes in $40 and $80 versions.
Interesting.
Right. So I'm guessing the $40 is the simple slide your entire switch into your face contraption.
Yeah, it looks like it's a... Oh, let me see. I don't want to misspeak, but it looks like it's more of a standstill type device.
Right.
Oh, this is weird. Yeah, that VR set is weird.
Yeah, some of these designs, like, that looks like a super scope or situation going on, but it's attached to your face.
Yeah.
And some of these things look like, if you look at the larger kit with the
camera,
the bird, with the bird and the camera,
and the elephant.
But that looks like it could be even a shooter game, like a point and shoot first person shooter in that sort of configuration.
Which one? The scope one? The one that looks like a bazooka?
The lower right hand, the elephant one.
Oh, the elephant one. Okay. Well, that they call it the elephant.
Right. It sort of resembles Sony's little point and shoot move attachment for the VR kit.
Right.
Yeah, but there's a lot of stuff going on there. A lot of stuff.
Whoa. So, yeah, I mean, what I'm wondering about this, because the VR set, it comes with with two lenses that presumably focus your view on a very specific part of the Switch screen, which is, you know, which makes sense. But we know that a VR display has to render two images. So, I mean, if a phone can do it, the Switch can do it, but I just don't know about the quality of...
We just don't know what that's going to be like because, you know, the way it works on the cardboard is, well, it's those two eye-fitting images that it sort of kind of replicates what a VR look should be. It's not actual virtual reality. It just kind of simulates it in a way.
Right.
But we're translating the Switch's 720p screen
right
into these images. And, you know, some smartphones can put up a higher res than that, I feel.
Oh, most, yeah.
Right.
But so the other thing is, though, that we're looking at 720 for the games that you know, they come out. Now, a game that's specifically made for VR may be way less taxing.
Right.
From a graphical and or processing standpoint. So maybe that's why they're controlling it this way. Because they could say, hey, play our little mini games.
Right.
In VR. You know, and they could control how their Switch is being taxed in that way.
Now, do you think this is Nintendo's way of getting Labo in front of more kids and more gamers, or is this, oh, we had a huge response and it was a successful product, this is just the next stage of it? Or was it again like, hey, this thing's not doing as well as we thought it would?
No, I think this is because it is doing well.
Right.
I think this is because it blew by their expectations. I mean, it's cardboard. Mm-hmm. I imagine the plastic pieces that come in these sets might be a little bit costly to make, but I mean, even plastic is really not that expensive. But again, they have a contract with education. They have different educational institutions. It could be that they are just getting feedback from that, and they're saying, hey, what about this? What about that? Like, you can do this with Labo. You can do that with Labo. So I think that I 100% believe that this was already being made when they released the first Labo. Like, this was probably being designed and talked about and all that stuff. I think what comes after this is going to be a response to how well or not well Labo might be doing for them. I don't see store shelves stocking this thing. Like, because at this point, you're stocking a starter set, which has the headset and the blaster. You would then have to stock an expansion set for the camera and the elephant, and then expansion set 2 with the bird and the wind pedal. So that's 3 boxes on a shelf. Or
that's a lot of real estate for the Labo.
Or you could just carry the starter set with blaster and then the all-in-one thing, because it said, because they're calling these expansion sets, but I don't know how you would purchase these expansion sets.
Well, you could get the additional. Let's say you bought the Labo when it came out a year ago.
Right.
You could buy the mini games and cardboard parts for $20 for right. two.
And I think that's kind of how they're going to do it. So maybe
right.
the expansion sets, which is the stuff that's removed from the $80 VR kit, they sell that separately on like the website if you want to add that kind of stuff. Because that, like that, if as a parent, if my kid was a little bit older, that's probably what I would do. I would do the starter set and I'll say, let's get through this first. We'll play right, this.
Let's build that piano before we stick this bazooka to your face.
Right, exactly. So maybe, you know, for me, I would be like, oh, I want that VR headset. I want to see what that's about. But again, it's going to be like two games that they made for it.
I can see a lot of parents who were iffy about getting the initial kits for their children saying, this isn't enough to motivate me to buy this for my child. Like, I like the idea of it, but just the execution is a little lacking.
Is it a fad? Yeah.
Right. At least with this, there's a little bit more to it. Like, it's a touch more current year in the tech. Like, it's virtual reality, so it's more appealing to younger minds. And maybe you can take this and work your way back and say, okay, this is a great tool. It's a great little mini game. Let's see what their fishing one was like, or their, you know, piano sim.
Right.
At the earlier sets. And you can buy those for add-ons as well. So it works both ways.
Right.
But again, like, this was just always sitting on the table for them to do it at any time. And now we have it. And it's coming out like around the corner.
Yep.
Which is kind of nuts. You think we'll see a Labo kit at the PAX East this year? A little Labo presentation booth hanging out?
Hell yeah. As long as there's no cats to piss on the cardboard.
Well,
we should be good.
Your biggest issue is the cats.
Yeah.
Just pissing on shit left and right.
I mean, my new desk still doesn't have room for any sort of Labo situation. If I had like high shelves, maybe, but I have anxiety over shelves falling out of walls. So,
you imagine this thing doing so well that Nintendo creates a Virtual Boy peripheral where you can slide your Switch into and make a Virtual Boy?
Yeah, and then just put the Virtual Boy games out on the
online. But like an actual piece of plastic, or like a third party, like a Mad Catz doing a Virtual Boy too,
right.
with the Switch.
Or they could sell stickers that you could put on it,
right?
That turn it into a Virtual Boy, and like right. and like it comes with like a little stand, so you don't have to hold it. Because that's the thing that concerns me about this is that every picture has the kid holding the device to his face.
Yeah, it seems very, very cumbersome.
It's very because, Mickey Mouse Disney. What are those side view? What are those things called? The slide. What the fuck were those things called?
Oh, those don't the viewfinders.
Viewfinders. Yep.
Yeah. Like the one in the top right corner is very viewfinder.
Yeah.
It's just funny, but yeah, if they're gonna pursue any more Virtual Boy kind of content, they should just ship a box with a pair of scissors in it. You can just jam your eyes out.
Jam them right in your eye sockets.
To really show what it was like playing a Virtual Boy back in the day.
Do you want to know what it's like to simulate eye surgery with no anesthesia? Virtual with Boy.
With the Nintendo Labo VR kit, now you can. Just jam this pen in your eye. You'll find out. Oh,
it'll,
boy.
It'll all make sense soon.
This really goes hand in hand with this week's releases. It's just when you talk about news and games coming out and us also not playing our Switch as much, you can kind of get a sense that things are kind of, you know, after the Pokemon Direct came out, it's all eyes are on the second half of the year. And it's kind of hitting a lull a bit right now. And then we have stuff like this to report on.
Well,
but there's always better news.
There's always better news, but I mean, listeners, let us know what you think. Is this going to be Nintendo's true foray into VR? Are we going to see now VR ports of other games that we've known or we've grown to love in the early ages of the VR headsets? Or is this just going to be a thing that Nintendo is going to control, put out only their own stuff? Are we going to get how cool would it be to get a VR version of Mario Tennis? Like, that could completely revitalize that game that fell off the face of the planet.
Or even just patch in some sort of compatibility.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah, like just saying, hey, VR added to Mario Tennis, and you're like, oh, what? And then all of a sudden you're buying your Labo and you're holding cardboard to your face.
Because the thing we had mentioned before when the Labo first came, before we get off this topic and move on to the rest of the news for the show, how the Labo could be something that could work hand in hand with kids' games and games that we play, like use that fishing kit for catching fish in Breath of the Wild or some crap like that.
Right.
So this could kind of eventually maybe sort of spill over into the games that most players have a Switch for. I feel that the Labo is still essentially for Switch owners like you and me who may have children. That, hey, you can play this while I'm, you know, playing Apex Legends before I take wherever I play Smash later on tonight. So, I don't know. It's interesting. It's just, I don't think it's going to be a huge, like, they can't compete yet in the proper VR market. But this is a great way for them to sort of cash in on that craze, in a sense.
Yeah, and in a tangential way. Yeah.
A very low risk way as well.
Right. All right, let's move on to the rest of the Nintendo news report. There's just three items on our report today. So, Andy, take it away.
Yeah, this kind of came out of nowhere. I guess a lot like the VR news. Octopath Traveler is getting a mobile game prequel for iOS and Android.
Yeah, I actually didn't even look at this article. I saw the headline. I'm like,
right.
Okay, that's interesting. So tell me about it. Catch me
up. Again, just out of nowhere, it seems, Square Enix has announced a prequel for Octopath Traveler called, with the subtitle, Champions of the Continent. This is going to be a free-to-play single-player RPG, which Japanese players can pre-register for right now, because there's no set release date yet.
Mm-hmm.
But the game looks every bit as gorgeous as its Switch counterpart.
Right.
I don't understand why this is only going to come out for mobile. Because when asked about a new console game, which I imagine is a sequel to proper Octopath Traveler, the quote was that it may take a little while longer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we discussed sales figures before. This was a huge seller for Square Enix. It was a, you know, monumental success. But to see it go down this path so quickly, it makes you a little bit nervous. Like, you're already quick to cash in on the mobile games market with the prequel game. Because I feel this could have worked as a Switch title. The graphics are very simplistic. It has that same charming art style, that 16-bit aesthetic with a 3D kind of modeling thrown in there as well.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just kind of, it came out of the blue.
Here's my question on this whole thing.
Right.
Does Octopath Traveler have enough brand power for this to matter, or do you think this was a way to get the brand to have power? Like, mobile is huge overseas in China and Japan. It's like,
right.
It's huge. So if you could release this mobile game, get the brand out there, is their intent to draw people? Because you said it's, you know, it is a prequel. Is the intent to draw people to the game proper? Could they be setting up for a proper Octopath Traveler release on other consoles with this?
I don't know, because I mean, my initial thought was when the game first came out, it didn't really need a lot in terms of marketing, because a lot of folks were expecting it. It was on everyone's minds for a long time when we first saw it, and then when the demo was released, it only furthered the hype. Now the final game, you can, you know, we've discussed our gripes at length on the show in the past, how the story isn't as interconnected as we would have wanted it to be, a la FF6, for example. But you know, it's what happens. It's okay. Mm-hmm. It's still a great game regardless. But I don't see, I never saw it going down this path. This Octopath. So soon, but I'm trying to find the motivation for this move here, because yes, on the one hand, there's a huge untapped mobile market which loves games like this. And when you take into the fact that this is a touchscreen turn-based game, makes it way easier to play on the go.
Right. Even with this, even the Switch is difficult to play with for me on the train because of the fact that I need to hold. I'm standing when I go home, when I go to work and I come home, I stand. So what I play like Polytopia because I just need one hand for that.
Exactly.
So if this could be.
You don't do my move? I wrap my arm around the pole.
No, I don't do that. No, I don't do that. I usually no, I don't. I have to hold above me actually the way the train is configured. So it's like there is the pole, but it gets so packed by the time I get on the train that
I'm not that guy. I'm making a joke, obviously.
Oh, people do that. There was a woman the other day, dude. I could not believe this woman existed on this planet. This woman. So I'm standing there and I keep feeling a bag brush up against my ass and the bottom of my back. And I'm like, whatever, it's a bag. It's not a big deal. But then it just continues to like just bug me because it's like it's just abrasive. It's not like it's just like a person's like arm or whatever or their butt. It's just like this crumply leathery bag that keeps banging up against my back. So I turn around. Do you know what this psychopath did? This complete psychopath. Because that's the only type of person that would do this on a fucking train on rush hour going home from work. Okay? This woman had a leather backpack that she strapped around the pole and put it on with the pole between her back and the backpack.
But me letting my balls breathe is an issue on the train for some women.
I mean, she was not like I'm not. It's not a woman thing. It was just the fact that like I don't understand. The facts are facts. She was a woman, but it was. I turned around and I'm like, no, you can't move your bag because you tethered yourself to the fucking pole, so that you can sit there and read your Kindle or whatever the hell she was looking at.
Let's face it. Let's be real here. 9 times out of 10, if there's someone next to a seat with bags on it, it's almost always a woman. That's just how it is.
Yeah. Well, you know what?
That's just reality.
But yeah, it was
back on the topic.
Back to the topic on hand. Literally hands.
Right.
So if this is an Octopath Traveler game, because I just don't have the time to sit there and play Octopath. Like, I would love to really dig in. But
you know what this reminds me of now that I think about it? Did you ever play World of Final Fantasy before?
Yes. Yeah. So,
great game. Amazing game on PS4. It was very old school Final Fantasy, turn-based, little chibi art. Huge success. And then what happened? That went to PC. And then that got a mobile sequel.
Right.
And then it went to the Switch. So is this, if you can take that, and although it's also Square Enix, by the by. So this could be signaling a similar scenario where we have a really popular, successful, exclusive IP for the Switch that Square wants to maximize its potential profit-wise.
Right.
So we'll do a mobile prequel to get those bucks out the way. And then we'll release a sequel, undoubtedly, I feel, at this point. On the Switch, and PC, and PS4.
Yeah, exactly. And everywhere else. Yeah.
Right. So I think that's what this is really going to push. Because I don't think if the IP didn't do that well, we wouldn't be seeing a mobile game or anything involving the IP this quickly. Because this looks like a well-polished game by that trailer.
Yeah,
they put some thought and love into this. It looks, again, just as gorgeous and slick as a Switch version.
Yeah.
So, because this could easily have been a Switch prequel. Like half price.
I'm wondering, do you think maybe Nintendo has the rights to all sequels? So that's why they did that. They did it as a prequel to just make some extra money.
But you have to think about when the first game was announced and released. That could have been Nintendo's to get some extra eyes on the console. Mm-hmm. Because you know, when it was first revealed, the Switch, you had your doubts originally.
Sure.
You know, I was more of a, this is going to be gangbusters by looking at it. But even Nintendo's own people, like, again, Game Freak, they were unsure of the Switch's success. It was still kind of in the air at that point. It could have been a flop. in many ways.
Right.
They could have used a little bit of that Nintendo cash. Hey, Square, make this game for us. This one game. Make it great. Make it like your old school RPGs that were on Nintendo back in the day. Let's make it happen. And they did that, and they fulfilled their agreement. And now they can kind of take their license and their IP and do whatever, because that's what they're doing, basically.
True.
But listen, I would rather, at this point, I want to see more Bravely Default. When's that going to come back, Square? Get on that series at some point.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it's in the pipeline. I'm sure something for that's in the pipeline. All right, let's move on to the next story here.
Speaking about games that we love from our past that are in the pipeline, Segway, Turok, the Dinosaur Hunter. Oh my God, he's back on the Switch?
Back on Nintendo, baby.
So we can say this is almost a hype zone, because it could easily have been, oh my God, Turok and Smash confirmed.
Turok and Smash confirmed, yeah. Velociraptor in Smash.
Velociraptor in Smash. But Turok Dinosaur Hunter and Turok 2 Seeds of Evil, which is undoubtedly the single greatest Turok game and one of the best FPS games on the N64 ever.
Hot takes right here.
Listen, that Cerebral Boar is no fucking joke. That is the weapon. I used to go into that game and put all the cheats, all the weapons on, and just burrow little earwigs into all the raptors and watch their heads explode. And that's why I am a well-adjusted adult that I am today. Because that was my teenage years. So we're getting the original Turok, and on the 18th of March. So that's coming out next Monday. For the price of $19.99. I've played this game remastered on the PC.
See?
Looks really nice.
Yeah, the changes that they made, I was reading up on this, because like Turok wasn't something that I owned. It's something that I played in like passing throughout the years, but I never really like owned it. But like the changes that they made apparently to these remasters or whatever are like really, really good.
Oh, it's all quality of life.
Yeah.
And all those foggy videos are all gone, so that's a thing in the past. But sadly, Turok 2 is still, the date is yet to be confirmed for its release. Mm. I would have loved to see a little bit of a combo pack here, like both bundled together for one little, maybe $30 price tag. But you got to be greedy and not give me what I really want, Turok 2. So I'll wait for that one to come out. So I may skip on the first one, because first one, great game. Two is an evolution into itself, which is a dinosaur pun, in case you're wondering. Oh, man. Look at that cover art. Can't you just die? I'm dead looking at it. It's so good. His little weird bone asymmetric armor and his... Is that an hourglass on his messenger bag? And is he going to stab that raptor in the face?
I think that knife is going, that's knife sword is going directly in the raptor's nose, like right up the nostril.
Which he will sneeze it out and just bite his face off.
Right.
He's wearing like little aviator goggles too, it looks like.
Yeah. I mean,
you gotta track down this artist. First of all, does he have like part of his leg, like his talons on his leg?
Yeah, they're wrapped around there. Oh, yeah. He's got his.
So you're not getting out of this
like,
alive.
Right around
boy.
His knee.
Like you gotta, you know, attend for.
But he's got,
but he's got
his hand around the raptor's throat.
Right, he's got his melon-sized bicep.
By the way, gross misrepresentation of what the velociraptor looks like. I just want to say.
Listen, they talk about boobies in games, and actually, the raptor took a chunk out of his chest. The little slash marks there.
Yeah,
that's more than a flesh wound. He can't walk that off. You're screwed, buddy. But when they talk about boobies in games, look at this.
We have a question. We have a question regarding this story.
Oh shit!
We do have a question. I just reached out. Yes, I reached out to the Discord.
Oh,
I said, does anybody have any questions for the show? And Missed Enough, Matt Murray, said, "Yeah, quote, what the fuck." So I think that aptly, describes what we're talking about right now.
Yes.
It's as if he's in the room with us.
That is an An excellent question.
He's like,
we don't know.
I said it fits what we're talking about right now. And he says, oh yeah. I said, yes.
We don't know.
Turok cover art.
What the fuck exactly? That is the most appropriate question for that cover art. So we appreciate your candor.
As always, Matt, on point, friend. On just point.
Talk about that hindsight. That's it right there.
Yeah, that's why he's the best.
Oh my God.
He's my squad mate. Speaking of the best, Andy, we got two of the very best coming to you.
The very best, the legendary, the legacy. We were just talking about Star Tropics.
Yeah, we were.
And forgotten franchises for the Nintendo. Star Tropics, my boy, everyone's boy, Mike Jones, coming back to Nintendo. And the Pit himself, Kid Icarus. On the Switch. Now, these are games to prop up this service.
Kid Icarus looks good. Like, I've never actually played the original Kid Icarus.
No introduction. Come on. You've never been turned to an eggplant before?
No, but I'm watching the video and I just saw him turn
into
an eggplant.
It's the most amazing. Could you imagine playing a game where you get turned to an eggplant and you have to walk your way back to a nurse or a little health pond? To undo the curse.
Why an
eggplant? Because the eggplant wizard.
Yeah, but why?
Because what else would an eggplant would turn you into? A fucking cantaloupe?
I guess.
This is fucking squash. Listen, if he was like the honeydew wizard, then you know, be honeydew. But no, he's the eggplant wizard. And hence, you could turn into an eggplant with legs. And you can't attack or do anything. In that form.
No, you're just waddling around.
You waddle around. And you got to walk your way back to get healed.
True.
That's when games are hard, kids. Remember those days? I hope you do.
Oh, man. So, yeah, Star Tropics. This means Star Tropics 3 confirmed? Is that?
Again,
three
these
four?
Games.
Four?
It'd be three.
Oh, okay.
It would be three. Only two games in that lovable series. Again, these are all almost Hype Zone pieces because they confirmed, you know, first of all, it confirms Turok and Smash. And then when you confirm Star Tropics 2, they also confirms Half-Life 3. Let's be honest.
Oh,
here.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
That's the next logical train.
That's
of thought.
Accurate. That's 100% accurate. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
But they really can't compare to the actual Hype Zone.
No, they cannot. And so, wow.
Yeah. I think that, listen, we've said a lot of great things about Star Tropics on this show. It's one of my favorite games on the Nintendo. This is why you want to own this service. If you've never played this game before, like Steven, or even our super fan Zach, please, this is why this service exists. This game is worth it. $20 for the year to play this game. I am waiting to play it again. And with that, Steven.
Oh, boy.
With that lovely send-off.
Oh, boy.
We look into the past. With the gems of Turok, Kid Icarus, Star Tropics. We make light of the Virtual Boy. But we see a glimmer of hope in the future.
We do.
But there is no glimmer brighter. No shine. More blinding. Than this next piece of news. This is a big one, guys. This is
huge, guys. So
this is,
yeah. The indie game development community, the indie developers, as it were, that business is very up and down, very up and down, but never this up and down.
We
It was a bad joke. It was a bad joke.
So hard. I'm trying not to laugh. It was there. It's real up there. If we were able to get this developer on this show, it would, one of two things would happen. The show would be so great. It would take it to new heights.
New heights, yeah.
We'd have to stop the show altogether.
It's the next level, as it were.
Because, you know, that's it. Once you're at the highest level, at the top floor, as they say.
Mm-hmm. There's nowhere to go but down from there.
Right. And that's the other option. It can be the lowest of the lows.
Right.
You'd be in the sub basement for all we know.
Yeah. C2 further level, down. You know what I mean?
Further down than that. Guys, I'm talking about a game called Undead's Building.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Undead's Building. Building.
Now, looking at that title, you would think, is it some sort of zombie building sim where you control a zombie population and then build it slowly and go from there? That sounds way too simple, way too basic for me, Steven.
Yeah.
That's why you are not a game dev.
No, I can't think like this. I mean, I ride an elevator every day, Andy.
Right.
Every day. And I interact with the union who works freight elevators. Like when I go do site visits, when I have to ride the freight elevator, there's always like a union guy or a girl, woman, whatever, sitting on, you know, or standing in the elevator in the freight car, and you're not allowed to push a button, and they have to bring you up and down. Now, this video game, which I am putting in the, I already did. I put the link to the trailer in the description of the show. Go watch it.
Steven, what would those union guys do in a zombie apocalypse?
They would be the most valuable person.
Correct.
Yeah.
As per Undead's Building's description, you rescue the residents of a zombie-infected apartment by operating an elevator.
Remotely, yeah.
And their lives are in your hands. Now, just to further showcase how revolutionary this game is, it has its own genre.
That's true. That's true.
And that genre is...
much like this podcast.
It is a real-time judgment with two Ds, mind you.
Mm.
A real-time judgment rescue game.
Yeah.
So, what does that say? It plays on your morals a little bit.
Oh, my God.
Like, do you want to save this asshole? Do you want to maybe, like, let him live, let him die? It's all up to you. You are the Judge Judy of these people.
You are the judge, the jury, the executioner.
This is like Crazy Taxi, but it's an elevator instead of a car. And
yeah.
You're just going up and down different floors.
And there's
a bunch of like low polygon zombies chasing you.
And you're assuming that wherever you're getting them out of the building is not going to also sentence them to death.
Right.
This zombie apocalypse is only in this building.
Right.
They react like Sims. It's pretty cool. I'm hyped. I'm hyped, Andy.
Guys, you have no idea. When I showed Steven this link, he lost his mind.
I mean, I pre-ordered. I wishlisted it on Steam. It's wishlisted. I did it.
We have to find this developer now.
Correct. You know what?
Double Drive LLC. Look them up right now. This is just too good to be true. You know, sometimes the Lord taketh away. He giveth too, guys.
He does. He doth giveth.
He bestoweth upon us a most gracious gifts to us today. And just like Jesus, it is undead.
It is. Oh, we're on the way to Zombie Jesus Day. We really are. We just had our Ash Wednesday. Us
talk
Catholic
about
people.
The perfect game to celebrate Passover. Pick up Undead's Building.
True.
Oh my God. This is like, I can't get over it.
I can't wait to write a review for this game.
Listen, I also wanted to give a shout out, even though I know they don't know who we are, but we will tag him in the tweet tomorrow. That's for goddamn sure. NintendoSoup.com is a constant, reliable resource for the Hype Zone.
Yeah.
Every time there isn't something stupid or dumb or just what the fuck, as our good friend Matt Murray said, in the headlines that goes viral, I can always turn to Nintendo Soup for something that's a little bit that's just quirky enough for me to latch onto and bring to the Hype Zone. And they've been there time and time again. So guys, thank you so much. We appreciate it on the show. You're doing great work and don't stop. We depend on you for so many things.
Wow. Yeah, I mean that's a day one purchase for me. And you may laugh, but I'm serious. I want to pad my lead this week, Andy.
You want to pad your lead?
I want to pad my lead.
Oh shit.
It's time to get into the Retro Game Club, friend.
Listen, it's the Retro Game Club.
And all right.
We're like the Retro Boned Club.
All right. So here
you
is
address this?
Here is yes, I'm going to address this.
Address away.
Colton Nessler, who gave me the clues, says he is the final word. He says there was bonage happening. Here's the thing. My argument for why it's not is because
we don't want to hear an excuse at this point.
Listen to me. Let me finish.
All right, fine.
Waluigi
okay.
is not from any of the mainline Mario games. That is not what he's known for, or where he was invented, or where he was from.
For those who are wondering, before you go any further, right. This is in reference to last week's episode for you new listeners out there. So please give it a listen.
Right.
It is a very long talk about Judge Judy moment for the show. So give it a listen and give us your feedback. The unanimous consensus was that I was boned last week. So you can make your case, but then we'll move on. So please make your case.
Let me see if I can find it. let me see. Okay. So. He got I'm trying to see what. Okay, no, it wasn't there. Okay, I was just looking for the discussion on Discord, but whatever, it's not there. Okay, so the Retro Game Club, this is how it works, folks. Okay, Andy's gonna give me 10 clues one by one. After each clue, I get a chance to I could guess what the game is, but I only get 3 total guesses, so maybe I'm gonna hold one of those guesses to get more to get more clues. But it works I get more points the earlier I answer the question, the earlier I get it right. If I want to ask a yes or no question, I could do so, but I lose one of my guesses and then I move on to the next clue.
Ooh.
See that? It's spooky. I have a 14-12 lead, but because of last week's bonage, Andy. Because of last week's bonage, okay?
Right.
The most I can get this week is 8 points.
Oh, you see, I was going to suggest you deduct your lead and give us all tied up, but we can do it that way instead.
So here's how it's going to go.
Okay.
The first clue is worth 8 points, and then the last 3 will be worth 0.
Oh, interesting.
Or 1 or whatever it is.
Sure, that's fine. No, because you got to get something at that point. Why are we even playing the game?
It'll be worth one.
So, all right. So I kind of like where your mind is at. So that's how I'll take it.
All right.
I got a great game this week. I picked 4 because I wasn't sure who the guest was going to be. So
all right, hit
this kind of came together in the last minute. But all right, let's do this.
Let's do it.
All right.
Got to get focused.
Your main weapon in this game is a whip, but you can also acquire multiple sub-weapons.
Okay, well, the obvious game that comes to mind is a Castlevania game because of the whip and the sub-weapons. Let's think. What else had a whip? Raiders of the Lost Ark. Like a Temple of Doom. I think was a NES game. Would they call it Raiders of the Lost Ark or would they call it Indiana Jones? I don't know. Okay, so that's a good starting point. I like that. I like it. So that was clue number 1 and that was for 8 points. So now clue number 2 is for 7 points. I'll take the next one.
And just to give you guys a little lesson here, that's how a real clue is constructed.
Oh, please don't listen to him. Gameplay
insight there.
You cannot talk because you're the king of giving the shittiest clues to start the game.
I said I would restore honor to this once proud segment. That's my intention today. So let's keep going.
Okay. When we say retro, we mean from the GameCube and back.
Right.
All consoles, all handheld, Nintendo. Platform. It doesn't have to be exclusive to Nintendo, but it had to have appeared on a Nintendo platform.
Right.
Okay.
Clue number two for 7 points, which is really hard for me to say because it's not how it goes usually on the show, but, you know,
yeah, it's
hashtag boning. If you asked this developer today, they might make you a pachinko or patchy slot game.
Oh, okay. So we got a Konami game. We got ourselves a Konami game, which means it could be an Ultra game. Let's think. So Atari had the Indiana Jones license, I think. Because the cartridge I remember for Temple of Doom was not an NES cartridge. It was like one of those weird Tengen, however you say it.
Oh, yeah. Those like weird black cartridges?
Yeah.
I had like one or two of those growing up. Those are some of my most hated games of all time. What was that one game I used to play? Time Lord?
I had the Afterburner Tengen cartridge. That was cool.
What was it, Time Lords?
So, I think you're trying to trick me. I don't think you would pick Castlevania. I really don't.
But there's so many of them. That's the thing.
I know.
That's the thing.
But like,
and we've only discussed it several times on the show.
I know.
But again, I'm not giving you any kind of feedback or commentary. Just I'm letting you go on your own. I'm giving you good clues.
Sure you are.
This is me trying to make a good clues for this once noble segment on the show before it devolved to utter lunacy.
You know what? I get in the habit of when I
get into the TMNT theme, I feel.
Well,
it comes out very, very...
Well, it's Konami. But no, what happens is whenever I'm giving you a game and like I really thought about it, a lot of the times I wind up humming that theme song while we're just chatting casually. And I'm like, fuck, I have to not do that. And then I change it into some stupid ass game or whatever. Or like stupid theme song. I feel like I need an era. Is this game? I'm going to ask you a yes or no question. Okay.
Oh, sure.
Is this game on either the NES or the SNES?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Down to two guesses.
Uh-huh.
And we move on. Clue number three for 7 points.
Okay.
I love it.
6 points.
6 points. I love when meat restores my health.
Oh, for fuck you. For fuck you, sir.
Oh, for fuck you.
Sir.
Fuck you, sir. You asshole in a hat.
So, is it Dracula's Curse? Is it Simon's Quest?
You're ruling out. There's two other Castlevania games on the SNES as well.
I know.
I'm not sure how well versed you are in the Castlevanias for the SNES.
Not well.
See, if our producer Alex is on the show, he'd probably have he'd be a good lifeline at this point. If he was your phone a friend, he'd be your phone a friend.
I think he's working.
Right. So he'd be available for discussion then. He'd probably be like. We should consider that as a part of the show. Like, forfeit all your guesses for one phone.
One
friend.
Chance. Super Castlevania is the only one that comes to mind for SNES. Because the other one in the 16-bit era was on Genesis, that was Bloodlines. Which is one of my favorite Castlevanias. I love Bloodline. I love the music in Bloodline specifically.
Oh, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. I love the little intro. Oh, it's so great. It's such a great game.
Great
that
game.
That game and Contra Hardcore were amazing Genesis games that made by Konami. It's just so weird because, again, when I was growing up, I was all about the SNES. And I felt betrayed by Konami. Like, why are you releasing these great games on the Genesis? I want to play them over here. But that's why I eventually bought Genesis for games like that.
Mm-hmm.
Not because of Sonic. Because of Sonic.
Comic Zone was cool.
Great game.
A little bit overrated, but...
Right, but it was at for its time. It was very, very different, and it stood out among you know, games like Boogerman and Earthworm Jim.
Right. All right, next clue.
Okay. All right. This game has a completely different name in Japan.
Okay. Let me think. I think some of the Castlevanias did have different names, though. I don't know if that was the PlayStation era.
Oh, so just so I can be a little bit more clear here for you, because I think you're thinking about subtitles.
Uh-huh.
So just to clarify, if we're going with, I'm not confirming Castlevania.
Right.
But to put you in the right headspace, it's as if saying Resident Evil is here.
As Biohazard.
Biohazard to Japan. So that's what you're thinking of.
Right. Castlevania would be, I don't know, would they just call it Dracula or some shit? I don't know. I'm staying with Castlevania. I have a feeling it's a Castlevania game. Let me think. There's Castlevania, Simon's Quest. There's Rondo of Blood. I think that was on SNES. Or is that on PlayStation? I don't fucking remember. Dracula X. Super Castlevania. Super Castlevania kind of sucked, if I remember correctly.
Excuse me? Do you want to take that back for kicking the teeth?
I want you to kick me in the teeth.
I will cut you if you ever speak ill one of the greatest Castlevania games ever made.
Huh. I wonder if you're giving me a hint here. All right, I'm going to take a guess.
Castlevania 4.
I feel like it wouldn't be... Well, I feel like you wouldn't be telling me about Castlevania 4 right now to just defending it to the death if it was that. Could be... Yeah, I don't think they were called Castlevania in Japan because Castlevania doesn't make sense.
How does it make sense here?
I mean, because we have... You know, we have, I don't know, the mythos of Transylvania is like a American horror movie thing.
I just love how, if you look at the example of Biohazard, very straightforward, tells a story, Biohazard. Right. We have a very pretentious name here, Resident Evil.
Right. There's evil in there. There's like, okay, in America, we can't call it Biohazard because we have an arcade game called Biohazard.
Evil's knocking on the door.
That was Midway,
don't
right?
Let it in.
Didn't Midway do a Biohazard light gun game?
Oh, I'm sure they did.
I think that was what it was. All right, I am going... All right, let me think. Should I take a guess? How much is this for? 6 points?
I believe it's 5 points.
5 points? Oh, fuck.
You're right.
I'll do one more clue. I'll go for 4 points. I feel like four is okay. So let's do one more clue.
Okay. All right, let me see here.
Find the clue that's going to make me not
find
think
the, I'm trying to find the one that's going to... All right. The next clue.
Uh-huh.
Ryu who?
Oh, no. Ryu who? Ryubusha?
Ryubusha?
Ryubusha? Okay. All right. I'm going to take a guess.
Okay.
Because it's, and this is the one I know the least about.
Sure.
Castlevania Dracula X. A late SNES game, I believe. That is my guess for 4 points. Fuck.
That is incorrect.
Ah, you motherfucker.
Okay. And Dracula X, just so you know, is a inferior port of Rondo of Blood.
Yeah, I wasn't. I wasn't sure which came first, the chicken or the egg.
Yeah, that's just, you want to avoid the game like the plague. It is not a good game. It's okay, but just it pales in comparison to
If it's Rondo and Blood, I'm gonna be Rondo of Blood. I'm gonna be very upset.
Rondo of Blood was only released stateside on the virtual console.
Right. Okay.
On the Wii. So you're safe there. That, okay. I believe, was on the PC Engine.
Ow.
Which, you know, fun fact for our listeners, I first discovered that game in an issue of EGM when Sonic 3 came out. I remember it very, very clearly. I was in sixth grade, during lunch, had an EGM, raviolis, flipping through, and I saw this amazing Castlevania. I was like, what the fuck is this? What the fuck is an MC PC Engine? I was like, what system is this? Can the Nintendos play it, mommy? It didn't. All right, so next clue. We're moving on. Now, this is when things get a little tricky.
Okay.
Because this can either be your aha moment.
Okay. Or really
or
fuck me.
To quote our good friend Matt Murray, what the fuck?
Okay, heard. Moment of the All show. Right, let's do it.
All right. This game is a racing game.
Oh no.
Oh no.
But that, all right, so based on your prefix to the clue.
Yes.
I'm guessing that it's not a traditional racing game. It's probably going to be like each level has like a timer or something like that. Like that's kind of where my head is going. So it's a racing game,
mm-hmm,
with a whip.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
My last two clues here. This is all for 1 point. I feel at this point in the game.
Right.
Here's what I'll do. I'm gonna lump in my last two clues together.
Okay.
Okay. Because at this point you're down to 1 point maximum.
Mm-hmm.
So you might as well go for the whole shebang at this
mm-hmm.
point.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So let's clarify. We'll give you one shot at this. Racing game.
Right.
Or is it a first person shooter? Oh, but it's also a side scrolling platformer.
Oh god.
So this game has three genres rolled into one. It's part driving segment racing game. It's part first-person shooter. And it's part side-scrolling platformer. So I'll also give you this. This is not Castlevania at all. No way.
Yeah, no, I know that now. Thanks. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they did like one of those, like a Mario Kart type game, but that was just a kart racer. I don't think it had anything else in it. So they essentially had to make three games in one.
There's three genres here. There's a driving segment, you right. know, like think of it like Spy Hunter, like a little chase sequence,
right,
sort of thing. Not traditional racing like a RC Pro AM or a Forza. There's first person elements, you know, little cursor. You don't see your character, but you shoot baddies on the screen. More like a on the rails, that mechanic. And then you have your traditional side scrolling platformer. And I'll give you one more clue. This was released in the 90s.
Obviously, yeah.
So, listen, at this point, I feel you should be at zero, but I'm feeling very generous. I'm in a non-boning mood, which is very not me at all.
Non-bone mood, I like it.
So
I like
I'm always in the mood to bone. So, yeah, I'd love for you to guess this game, but we can always just, you know, pull back the curtain, open door number three, Let's open that briefcase up, see if it's $1 million in that. Whatever other analogy to a game show I can think of at the last moment. Survey says.
I only have one guess, right?
Yeah. Quick, make it fast. Otherwise, you're Googling.
Because
if you don't know this game, you don't know this game.
I know.
So, can we just move on?
Yeah, let's move on. Let's move on.
All right. Gun deck in Japan, or what it's called here, Vice Project Doom.
No, I don't know that game.
Was released in 1991 by a developer named Icom, which went on, this game was not shit. It was the shit.
Sure.
If you go back to my Ryu Hu clue, this game was heavily influenced by Ninja Gaiden. Heavily.
What is it called?
Vice Project Doom.
Project Doom.
And the funny thing is that if you were to play this game,
it's five out of five on eBay.
Yes. It looks like you're carrying a sword for a weapon, not a whip. But it's actually a laser whip that you use as a weapon.
Laser whip.
And there's like guns, you get like a 44 Magnum, bullets, getting little G-nades. And there was, again, there was three gameplay mechanics. There was a traditional side-scrolling platformer. There was a really, you remember those cheap, like, Wild Gunman little square cursor, like, would move around by itself. You would just shoot enemies.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. And then there was, like, the Spy Hunter kind of chase scenario.
Could you use the light gun?
For the first-person shooter?
That'd be cool.
Why would you do that to yourself?
That would be really cool if you could, though.
It had amazing graphics for its day, 91. Great boss fights. Great graphics, that parallax scrolling effect. And it had that Ninja Gaiden cutscene style. Like, exact. Yeah. Mm. Exact kind of...
You know what I'm going to do, Andy?
Yes.
I'm going to go right now to hopefully, oh, there it goes. Okay, sorry for that sound, folks, but I am going into our page right now, our twitch.tv/dualscreensstreams, and I'm going to add this. This will be my Wednesday game.
It's a great game to play. You're going to love it.
Tuesday.
It's a game that I feel, it kind of exemplifies why this whole part of the show exists, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
There's always going to be a time to talk about games like Turok and Conquer and Kirby and all the other, like, the forgotten gems, but they're still gems for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of games that I feel were just forgotten that never got the proper recognition, and this game is on that list for me. Because it stood very proudly next to my Castlevania, my Ninja Gaiden, my Metroid, all that stuff. And I feel a lot of folks don't know much about it.
Mm-hmm,
so I have imparted this wisdom onto you. And I hope that when you play it on Wednesday, I will definitely be on that chat on Wednesday to watch you play.
Oh, will you now?
And see how well you do. I'm not going to disappear. It's on Friday yet. So I'll be there. I'll be in the chat. But I think that brings our show to an end.
Yeah, we did it. We got through it.
That was a great show.
Yeah, that was fun. I was looking at some screenshots. That's a game I wouldn't mind playing. All right, folks, that's gonna wrap us up here. Thank you so much for listening. Remember, we are part of a podcast network on provinggamer.com. They have other podcasts. They have Trophy Horrors, PlayStation Podcast, Game Stuff, General Games Discussion Podcast. Head over there if you want to support those shows. You could follow us on social media. We are at NDS Podcast on both Twitter and Instagram. Excuse me. I am at Batchile27. Andy is at Pants Guy. We also have a Facebook group that you guys can go in there and chat with each other and post your fun Nintendo stuff, your memes and whatnot. That's facebook.com/groups/NDS podcast. So it's everything's kind of branded the same, NDS podcast. If you want to follow us on Twitch, I stream about minimum 3 days a week, sometimes four, at twitch.tv/dual screens. streams. So dual screens streams. You could also put in Nintendo dual screens in YouTube and subscribe to us there, although we don't really have the time to make much video content at this point. Maybe that is a goal that we can reach somehow, some way, to get somebody to edit for us, because that's the thing that we can't do, editing. So if you want to edit for us, if you want to volunteer as tribute, reach out to us at feedback@ndspodcast.com. feedback@ndspodcast.com. Special thanks to our other contributors, which have already given so much to the show. Zazu Pitts of Sour Note Productions for our theme song, 16-Bit Attack. Thank you, Dan Colonna of Dinosaur Machines, for our Nintendo Dual Screens logo. Thank you, Andrew Douglas, for all of our fancy art. And I saw some of the stuff that you're working on for next month, and my God, it is fantastic. If you want to follow Andrew, you could do so. He's on social media as Angimoto, A-N-G-I-M-O-T-O, Angimoto. And again, if you want to support our show, with our restructured, revamped tiers on Patreon, please consider going to patreon.com/NDS podcast, just like our Patreon producers, Alex Gonzalez and Gavin McCrin have done. Thank you so much, guys, one more time. Andy, is there anything you want to tell the kids before we go?
Yeah, at this point, I usually plug next week's guest, but I feel like it's going to be all three at once that didn't come for today's show. So I'm not sure what's going on next week. So look forward to someone on the show.
Somebody will be here.
Someone will be here in full effect. It could be a dev. It could be an author. It could be a musician. Who knows?
Who knows?
We'll see what happens. But that's the joy of the show. It's zany. It's unpredictable. And that's why we love you guys, because we keep it fresh and keep it fun. So please look forward to that.
Please be excited. That's it, folks. This has been Nintendo Dual Screens, episode 89 for the week of March 11th. If you want to listen to the episode's pre- and post-show shenanigans, head over to patreon.com/ndspodcast, where you can get an extra hour of content every single week. Until next time, take care, everybody. And as always, please be excellent to each other.